हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so Bhakti Sandarbha Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 4, Bhakti is superior to all other sadhanas. So, or in Anucheda 102, then the points being made, concentrate your mind only on me, fix your intelligence on me. You will without doubt dwell close to me after leaving the body. Then otherwise, if you're not able to concentrate on your mind on me steadily, then seek to attain me by the method of withdrawing the mind from the sense objects and fixing it on me, O conqueror of wealth. So then in the purport that Prabhupada mentions, Bhakti Yoga is the purification of the senses. At the present moment, in material existence, the senses are always impure, right? Because they're impure. It's not that the mechanics by which they're working are necessarily impure. It's that they're not being directed towards Krishna, right? It means they're being directed towards ourselves and our benefits that we'll get. So that's the impurity. So because the consciousness is impure, therefore, everything performed under that impure consciousness becomes impure. You know, just like Prabhupada gives the example in a math equation. If one part of the equation is wrong, everything else will be wrong. Even though technically it may be correct. You know, you did 2 + 2 = 4, but then you said, you know, 9 × 7 = 3. And so then the whole rest of the equation will be wrong. So the point is that If the consciousness is wrong, everything below that will be under the intelligence will be looking for impure elements. The false ego is identifying impurely. The mind will be choosing, you know, impure aspects, even though they might on the material platform be called pious. But they're only called pious because that's the activity you should be doing in devotional service, you know, with the proper attitude. But when you, in other words, if I engage myself correctly in an activity, you know, according to Krishna's direction and recommendation to please Krishna, that's called devotional service. If I engage in the recommended activities, you know, of the Shastra, not to please Krishna, but myself, that's called pious activities. And when I ignore those directions of the scripture, the recommendations, and just do whatever I want, that's called impiety, right? Yeah. So here it is that Bhakti Yoga is the purification of the senses because everything's being engaged in the sense in the Lord's service. So it's not technically about the senses. That just is a byproduct that you're trying to do everything to please Krishna. So that means body, mind, and words are engaged. Therefore, in this way, all the senses become purified. At the present moment, yeah, and he's also mentioning that you have processes of bhakti yoga, right? When you have attachment to Krishna, and then you doing that, you follow that, that will get you to the point of prema. But if not, then you follow where you're regulating yourself and everything like that. Rules and regulations and all that. And so that's what it's called. So it's called bhakti yoga up to the point of prema. Right? So the point is we have bhakti, which means it's directed towards Krishna, but prema means that attachment to Krishna and your whole relationship, everything centered around Krishna. So the process of bhakti yoga is to bring us to the platform of prema. Right? But unless you're on the platform of prema, we don't talk about that. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. At the present moment in the material existence, the senses are always impure, being engaged in sense gratification, right? Sense gratification means it's for us. The same activity, whereas Krishna is the center, is not called sense gratification. It's called devotional service, right? Why something becomes sense gratification? Because it's left being for Krishna. That's all. It's not different. Like you're eating and you're tasting and it's nice, but it's not for Krishna, it's not prasad, then it's sense gratification. But if you're honoring prasad and it tastes nice, that's not sense gratification. Sometimes devotees make the mistake that that's sense gratification. Oh, you're just eating prasad, it's sense gratification. It tastes good, it's sense gratification. You should eat, you know, how you say, moldy wood chips, you know, off the, how you say, sidewalk. Then that's devotional service because there's no sense gratification. No, devotional service, engaging the senses in Krishna's service, not avoiding the senses. We avoid, in other words, it's part of it. We avoid the engaging the senses. That's the morality. But the ethic is actually, no, it should be for Krishna. Right? So the morality is just there because then you don't forget Krishna. It's not a matter of austerity or punishment or any of these kind of extreme elements. It's about serving Krishna. So that is the point. So sometimes people will say, oh, we're not fanatic. But actually, they can't say that, because fanatic means that it's you're performing an action, a religious activity, without understanding the philosophy. That's actually the definition of fanaticism. But if you're doing something like Raghunath Das being so austere and drinking buttermilk, you know, a little leaf cup of buttermilk every other day, that's not fanatic. That's just for him all he's interested in doing, for, you know, on that side. So he's just so absorbed in Krishna that this aspect is just, you know, comes very naturally. So he knows the philosophy, he knows all these things. He's offering obeisances to 2,000 Vaishnavas. But it's because he knows and he realizes those philosophies, so therefore it's natural. So we have to, so in here in the beginning, that the devotee may make the mistake, you know, in trying to control the senses, you know, and be very, very austere with the senses, then that's fine, because it's in pursuance of pleasing Krishna. But it's the that you're doing that in connection to Krishna that pleases Krishna, not the particular thing itself. You know, that's the whole point. It's the engagement in service, like it mentions in the Chaturmasya, that of all the different services, then you see is that those that are about pleasing Krishna directly are considered give the best results. Right? Different ones give results for on the material platform. They all give the piety, but because if you're doing Chaturmasya to please Krishna, then even these indirect activities will give their particular indirect results. But the point is that it's that you're being simple and austere for Krishna. Like that. That's the part that pleases Krishna. Otherwise, it's mentioning, you know, sprinkling the temple room with water and sweeping and cleaning and doing these kind of things. You know, those are the things that are pleasing to Krishna. So out of all the, you know, the 44 main items of Chaturmasya, then those ones that are directly for Krishna, those are the things. So that's why we know is, okay, we're not taking any spinach, we're not yogurt, milk, and urdal during their particular months. But it's that you're increasing your service to Krishna, your hearing and chanting, your whatever it is that you're doing. You're trying to increase your service, especially in partik. You know, so that will be, that's the whole idea, is that that's the real pleasing part. Is that if I, let's say it's a fast day, if I don't eat breakfast, then that means I save 45 minutes there, right? You know, because you got to go there, eat, wash, get back, you know, talking to people, all that. So that 45 minutes I should use for chanting in that. If because I'm fasting, oh, I can't do anything, so I just sleep during that, then you haven't really done a whole, you know, why fast, you know, because then you probably won't sleep just that 45 minutes. You know, I can't do anything. I've seen, you know, it's a Kadasi or it's a fast day, so they can't serve prasad, you know, even though it's their service, you know, because I'm fasting. Then why, what's the point of fasting? Service is more important than the fasting. So for us, the fasting is to show that respect and to, therefore, you know, in that mood when you're fasting and that, you're more focused. And then being more focused, you do more service. So we see it's the positive element is what we're looking for. And it may have what seemingly looks like a negative or like that, but it's not actually, because it's just connected to Krishna. So that's the whole point. The senses being engaged with the sense objects in connection with service to Krishna is not sense gratification. Being engaged, the senses and the sense objects not connected to Krishna, that's sense gratification. So it's not that the engaged senses are engaged. That's the problem with the Mayavadis and the Buddhists, is they think it's all Maya, so they just stop the senses. But that's not the point. People are, you know, it's always on that control, but the control of the senses is that therefore you're engaged in me, right? Concentrate your mind only on me, fix your intelligence on me, you without doubt dwell close to me after leaving the body. That's what you should be doing. So now if I'm concentrate your mind only on me, means I'm not thinking of anything else. Fix your intelligence on me, I'm not using my intelligence for anything else, right? That, so it's automatic. You know, if I'm eating a rasgulla, I'm not eating a pakora. It's just obvious. If you're doing one, you're not doing the other. So think here. Otherwise, you're not able to concentrate on me steadily, right? Means we do now and again. Every devotee will concentrate on Krishna at some point, maybe the darshanartik, then for a few moments when they're looking and appreciating, or during the kirtan, maybe, you know, because it's going for long, let's say a kirtan mela or something, then they focus on Krishna, or a point in the class, or something someone said or someone did, or, you know, just whatever it is that they're focusing, they're reading from the book and some point in the purport stands out to them. So those moments they're thinking of Krishna, but it's not steady. You know, it's like that, maybe that's why you have regulations. So at least there's some steady element. So that Mangalarti, Darshanarti, you know, at some points you're chanting, you're hearing Bhagavatam, you're taking prasad. Or at some point, then you're remembering Krishna, thinking of Krishna. That's the whole idea, is that you're regularly then being connected to Krishna. This whole thing, oh, we don't need all this. We're just, you know, what comes natural. You know, it's just natural is the thing to go. They're going natural and they're talking natural. But the point is the tree grows the way that tree is supposed to grow. It has leaves that tree has. It's not doing anything else. It's not that the tree puts out a different leaf because it just felt, well, you know, that seemed to be the leaf for today, like that. You know, and for those trees that want to have completely different leaves, there's one kind of tree, I don't remember what it is, but every tree on the leaf, every leaf on the tree is a different shape. Everyone. There's never one leaf that's the same. You know, all other trees you can tell is it has a basic shape. You know, there might be some very minor difference, but no, it's these are completely different shapes. You know? And every tree is like that, you know, so that's one tree, you know, but all of the trees, it has that. So the whole point is the tree is following, the grass is following. With their shade, the grass doesn't grow under the tree. Where there's not trees, then the grass grows, you know, like that. And then the animals, they follow, they're regulated. You know, sun goes down, they go to sleep. Sun starts to, you know, Brahmahorta, they wake up. You know, like that. Then they spend their day. The animals that eat grass are in the field where there's grass. And the animals that don't eat grass, that eat berries, they're in the trees. So they're exactly regulated, perfectly regulated. So this whole, or just being natural, doing whatever we like. No, no one does that. No living entity, you know, in the 8,000,000 species does that. They all do exactly. You can say, oh, but the dog, he just came up and ate my lunch, because that's, he eats things and it's there and he eats it. He's a dog. It means you put the food down there and put a dog and then let go of the dog. What's he going to do? Eat the food. You can guarantee that, you know, 100% of the time. Right? You know, you can say, oh, but what if the dog's distressed, or you're standing there with the stay? But these are exceptions. They prove the rule. That's also the point. In the Vedas, the exception proves the rule. And in the modern way of illogical thinking, they think it throws out the rule. Like, you know, you're one example, and then the other 1,000,000 ones that do exactly what you're saying. So what's that called? An exception. It doesn't change the rule. They think, oh, I've destroyed the rule by my, you know, intellect and prowess. And no, you haven't. You've just pointed out, you've just proven the rule. So all this thing, I'll just do whatever I want and feel whatever I want. And that you're just going according to the modes. And so you're thinking you're being free, but you're not. Your choices are going to be a particular way. You choose that mode and you follow that mode. So it's all these things these are the illusion it's that you engage the senses according to Krishna's direction. Then that's not sense gratification, right? It's being done for Krishna, right? If it's done for Krishna, it's devotional service. It's done not for Krishna, but following the rules, acknowledging, that's called piety, right? And then avoiding the rules and all that because you want to be independent, that's called sinful. You know, this whole thing, it's modern age, we don't need to follow Varnashram, that's nonsense. That's just called sin. That's just called polluted consciousness. That's called distorted consciousness. That's all. It's not that it's something glorious because you're getting the glorious feeling. I mean, the dog went and ate the pizza when you went to the bathroom. He feels glorious. And then when you come back and you're, who ate my pizza? Then he's kind of like, why is he getting home like that? You know, I mean, I know, but there is that. He always feeds me and that was food and I ate it. What's the problem? You know? Yeah, so it's all just self what do you call it? Self-centered illusion that it's all about me, it's all about, you know, there's nice words to describe this, but unfortunately we didn't grow up. We didn't learn RP English, you know, so we're not so good with coming up with all these fabulous, because they know how to describe everything by these words rather than just feelings, you know. That's what I grew up in, that environment. But some grew up actually knowing what exact words explain that. Yes. Okay. By the practice of bhakti yoga, these senses can become purified, right? Because the point is that the sense becomes purified, but it's the attachment of the senses that's actually your purifying. So the engagement of the sense is what you're there, right? Because we remember is that the 10 senses, then they're connected with the mind and the sense objects. And so it's the mind that controls the whole thing. So that whole group of 15, then plus one, the mind, 16, that's what makes everything happen. So technically you're purifying the mind, which means what you desire. And that means then you're going to purify the intelligence. That means you're going to purify the false ego. So that means you're purifying the consciousness. By purifying the consciousness, all the other three get purified. Therefore, the senses are engaged in purified activities. You're purified, right? Otherwise, it's the same. Otherwise, why is the chandala, now that he started chanting, his body is pure, right? Because we know that those who clean all the sewers and all that kind of thing, that are always with this dirty stuff all day, then they're considered unclean, you know? So, then they stay out of the way of those who are doing pure things, because one is that the body's impure. And even if they take a bath and all that, generally someone who deals with that impurity isn't so worried about if they stuck their finger in the mouth or their nose or, you know, ate something and didn't wash their hands, just wiped it on the back of their jeans, you know, like that kind of stuff, you know. And if you're more fancy, then you get out your handkerchief and then wipe your hands on that. And then, wipe your mouth and get back in your pocket and you're clean like that. Yeah. And then it's not that you get a new one. No, it's like that. Or you like that. You just, you know, after a month, you throw it in the wash, you know. Even if you throw it in the wash once a week, still you've been wiping your mouth and hands with it after eating for, you know, a week, you know, whatever. So, and in the purified state, they become directly in contact with the Supreme Lord. So when the purified state means with devotion, that's steady, then they come in contact with the Lord. The Lord reciprocates, because the Lord is, he is all these potencies. He is all the senses, the sense objects, the elements that everything's made out of, the Mahabhutas. He is everything. He is the potency that makes the mind, intelligence, and ego work. He's all that. So now when you do it in connection with him to please him, he reciprocates. That means we're never separated from Krishna. But at the same time, is the experience is that he's not there. That's the whole point. You know, for the Shanta Bhaktas, because they're just working on that intellectual platform, therefore they know everything's Krishna. They're never separated Krishna. They're always in ecstasy being absorbed in Krishna. But those in the four rasas above that, then, because there's that sense of possession, then the point is that you're with and you're not with, you can tell the difference, even though it's this, it's technically the same ecstatic emotion, but it gives a different effect. You know, just like, let's say, you hear something, let's say, like music or some situation that's really, really, really excellently done, nice, you get goosebumps, but you call that as a good thing. Wow, this was such a great experience. I got goosebumps. You know, but then, you know, you walk out after the program, you walk out in the parking lot, and, you know, and you know, three guys with black balaclavas over their mask, you know, head are walking towards you, and you get goosebumps again, but it's called fear. So the point is there is difference in the experience, because the experience is the main point. So it may be the same element, the same prema, but one is seen as sambhog, one is seen as vipalamba, right? That, and that's acknowledged because they nourish each other. Means the sambhog is where you want to be, but when there's separation, that means being together has more meaning. And then because you've been together, you're so much more attached to being together that when there's separation, then it makes you focus more on the being together. So it just, they each nourish each other. So that's why the Braja Bhakti then is the highest, because others don't have that element of separation, even if they're following a service in Vrindavan, you know, like the Dwait Advait Wallace, the Nimbarka followers. So they're worshiping in Vrindavan. And also you see some in the different lines, you know, they are serving there. But the point is, but it's still, it doesn't have the Vipralamba, so it's not Braj. You know, it has an element of majesty to it, though it'll be the minimum. It'll be just something, but it's not, it's just seen as part of the sweetness, but it still has that element there, and there's no Vipalamba. And so their experience, though great, may be greater than those in Mathura, but at the same time, it won't be the same as Braj. Right? So the point is it's in direct contact. That's what Krishna is pointing out to the gopis, that you think of me, you're always with me. It doesn't matter where you are, because everything is me. So if you're thinking of me and absorbed, I'm always with you wherever you are. I reciprocate. That's why wherever they are, they're thinking of Krishna. They're absorbed in Krishna because they're always surrounded by Krishna. They feel that, but it still gives the flavor of Vipralamba. So it has a particular flavor and a particular intensity, right? In this material existence, I may be engaged in some service to some master, but I don't really lovingly serve my master, right? Because on the material platform, it's not based on love. It's based on what I'm going to get out of it. Why did I go anyway to get that job? You know, I may like the people around. I may like the boss, but it's because they pay me. They stop paying me. I don't stay around, right? I simply serve to get some money. And the master also is not in love. He takes service from me and pays me, right? You do the service, he pays. You don't do the service, he doesn't pay. What is it? Yeah. So there's no question of love, right? What is it? The Chinese saying like that. You borrow money, you no pay, I get mad. You want to borrow money, I know give, you get mad. Better you get mad. Right? Yeah. So there's no question of love. But for spiritual life, one must be elevated to the pure stage of love. That stage of love cannot be achieved by practice of devotion. Oh, can be achieved. That stage of love can be achieved by practice of devotional service performed with the present senses, right? So even though we may have material senses, it can be used, because the point is the soul expresses itself through the senses. So if they have affection or have interest, they express it through the senses. So on the spiritual platform, you have the spiritual body and you're engaging Krishna service. So over the living entity in the material world, then is of the conditioned, you know, impure consciousness, polluted consciousness with the senses, on material senses, and they engage their senses in that way. But when the living entity becomes the Bhagya Jeev, right, because you have the liberated jiv, and you have the what do you call it, the baddha jiv and the mukta jiv. But when the baddha jiva or the bound living entity comes in contact with the devotees and takes up devotional service, then he becomes bhagya. He becomes fortunate. So the bhagya jiva now is the soul, has the consciousness to serve Krishna, you know, but he has this body, he uses that to serve Krishna. And so it, you get the same, you get the benefit of that. So that point is that if you're getting that benefit, the material senses can be used spiritually. Why would you be worried about what was my varna or ashram? Because whatever it is, I can serve Krishna. So if you get into that, into a political thing, that's just polluted consciousness. It has nothing to do with devotional service. You know, not on any elevated platform. You know, it'll be presented as if, oh, we're more liberal, we're more advanced, when actually, no, it's just they're more controlled by the mode of ignorance. You know, and that's all. It's sad, but. Yeah, this love of God is now in a dormant stage in everyone's heart. In other words, it's natural. It's the natural position. And there, love of God is manifest in different ways. But it is contaminated by material association. Now the heart has to be purified in the immaterial association. And that dormant natural love for Krishna has to be revived. That is the whole process, right? So all the love that we have, that dormant love that we have for Krishna, in the conditioned state as being in a covered state, in a polluted state, as being used, or a perverted state, in a distorted state, is being used for ourselves and everything like that. But what we're all, every living entity is looking for is Krishna. They're not looking for anything else, because nothing else can serve to please Krishna, right? Otherwise, if it's the thing itself, why is it today something's in fashion and everybody's into it and everybody's in ecstasy and everybody feels so good and the other guys are good and hey, we're all a group of really cool dudes and those guys aren't, you know, cool and we're the better ones and everything's fabulous, and give it 6 months and everyone looks at it and goes, that's stupid, you know? And so then, you know, or give it 2 years if you're not, you know, a fashionista, you know, like that. And so you just say, well, who cares? You know, because it itself doesn't produce the attraction. It doesn't produce all those feelings we have, is not produced by the thing. It's dead matter. It can't produce anything. So it's Krishna's potency that's in it, and Krishna's governing of the laws surrounding it that make it give you that experience that you think, yes, this is good. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, it's just like, it just, how you say, you know, the guys are wearing, what do you call it? What was those things? There were those platform shoes, I think, you know, huge, like, you know, the guys on Kiss would wear, you know, it's like 6 inches or something like that. Yeah. And that was the cool thing and all that. And now they just like look like clown shoes, right? You know, like that. And if they do come back, they come back, they're only this high. You know, no one's going to go, you know, like that. Yeah, give us some time like that. Remember, I think we did after means once you've done the production, you know, and it's finished, it's running, it's finished. So this was, would have been, you know, like Nutcracker Suite. So it's for the Christmas time. So it's done at that time. It'll run for, you know, X amount of days and that. And so then when it's finished, then you have a tradition where now, because the actors did everything, right? But you have all the guys that are the backup, you know, the guys that do makeup, the guys that do lights, the guys that do sound, the guys that, you know, organize the stage and, you know, pull the ropes and make things go up and down and all that kind of jazz. They get together and now the actors sit in the audience and all the stage hands and everybody, they go on stage and do a parody of the thing, right? And so, you know, it's an old tradition. I don't know if it still goes on these days. Yeah, and so, you know, and they just take everything to the extreme, you know, just things like that are just so, it's stuff that everybody knows, but nobody says, you know, because that's, you know, everybody's unique. And at the same time as you try to take it to extremes that it's beyond, you know, like that. So, and one of the things, then the guy who was playing the main male lead like that. And, you know, he's not, you know, he's okay. Technically, he knows the stuff and all that, but he's not as graceful. He's not like Nureyev or something, you know, he just like flies through the air and like that. You know, he kind of a big guy. And when he would, you know, do the jump, and when he hits the ground, you hear it. You know, it's just this a bang on the ground. So then they do the thing, whoever it was playing the part, then they put him in for that thing, they put him in a special shoe that on the heel, and they put on like this much stuff, you know, to make it like, I mean, literally like, you know, 9 inches to a foot of it being raised, but only on one foot. Right. So he comes out, does the jump, hits on that, you know, everything goes flying and that, you know, so that was part of the thing. So the point is that at what, you know, it's sometimes, oh, it's the fashion. Other times it's just a goof. So that means is, why is something in fashion? Why is something terrible? So why is something designed? That's Krishna's potency. It's not the thing. Right. How many times somebody has something in their garage sale? A piece of junk, you know, when they drag it out of the garage and put it on the tables and, you know, interested people, it's on the weekend or Sunday or whatever it is, they stop by, hey, let's go look at that. You know, nothing else to do. It's a pleasant neighborhood. You're not worried that, you know, guys in balaclavas are going to come out and get you, you know, like that. And so then, you know, you go out and you look and you find, so, hey, well, this is nice. And all, you know, how much is this? Yeah, $5, you know, okay, yeah, take it home. And then you put it on your shelf there, you know, because it's an interesting, nice-looking thing. And then, you know, one day one of your friends comes over and looks at that and goes, wow, where did you get that? And, oh, you had a garage sale and all that. How much did he pay? It says $5. Do you know that thing's worth $100,000? You know, and then you take it down to Sotheby's, and then they confirm it and all like that, and Hari Paul, you know. So like that, it's just, it's to that person, this is gold. To the other person, it's just a piece of junk that they're, grandfather had in the box and no one knew what to do with. You know, he picked it up when he was, you know, in France or something like that. You know, they went to, and when they cleared out a place of, you know, Germans and all that, then he found this funny kind of like egg with all these kind of little geometric lines around it and all that kind of thing. And, you know, and took it home. Thought, oh, yeah, my grandmother or daughter might like that or something, but he forgot about it, left it in the box, and now they got it. And then you find out it's a Fabergé egg, you know, so, you know, like that. It's just, that's just the way it goes. It's just no one knows. And so it's Krishna's potency that makes everything happen. So that's the point, is that natural dormant love, the soul can't act other than being a soul. Right. You know, I mean, there is the element that, you know, I mean, if you, you know, how you say, you know, it's like a theist and an atheist, so a soul and an a soul, you know. So sometimes, yeah, acting as an a soul, you can, people will be annoyed and not appreciate what you're doing. But the point is it's still a distortion of the nature of the soul. You're going to look at everything that is going to be eternal. You're going to look at everything that I can do work and get a just result. And you're going to look at everything that I can be happy by that endeavor. And you're going to be looking that is directed in relationship like that, but you just make it yourself, but it's actually Krishna you're looking for. You know, what you're looking for in your mother is Krishna. What you're looking for in your father is Krishna. The friends, brother, that's the, that song of the Acharya, Krishna Pita, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pranadan. You know, whatever it is, it's Krishna you're looking for, nothing else. And so therefore then, you know, so, and, you know, and you heard devotees in the 90s, 60s used to talk this point of philosophy. You know, kind of got, you know, yeah. So this is what it is. So now you have to revive, instead of using that dormant love for Krishna in a distorted way, you know, directed at so many other things with yourself as the center, you direct it at Krishna. That you, the soul, the individual soul, that Krishna, the individual supreme soul, and that relationship, that's what you're looking for, right? So Prabhupada says, that is the whole process, right? That's what you're trying to do. That's the whole process. Now, that whole process may have details, but you can see Prabhupada's giving the principle in which everything works. You catch this, you actually catch what's going on. You don't catch that, then it doesn't really work out, right? Yeah. Yeah, because otherwise, yeah, okay. Then the next is abhyase pya samartosi matkarma paramo bhava madartam apikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. So this will be the next one, 12:10. If you are unable to practice in this manner, then perform your activities for me, taking that as the goal of your life. Performing activities for my pleasure, you will attain association with me, right? So you see here, concentrate your mind only on me, just be fixed on me, just like that. You know, fully surrender. Otherwise, you can't do it suddenly, then you fix then take me, withdraw the mind from the sense object and then fix it on, right? So then you have that sadhana. Then if you can't do that, then perform all your activities for me. The one is just remember me. The other is, okay, then you're doing those activities that'll help you remember him. If you can't do that, then perform all your activities for me, not for yourself. And that means, in other words, the sannyas mentality, right? That taking that is the goal of your life, right? And then we'll see the next one is then give the results. Then it's a renunciation. But now he's talking about the sannyas. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. One who is not able even to practice the regular principles of bhakti yoga under the guidance of a spiritual master can still be drawn to this perfectional stage by working for the Supreme Lord. How to do this work has already been explained in the 55th verse of the 11th chapter. One should be sympathetic to the propagation of Krishna consciousness. There are many devotees who are engaged in the propagation of Krishna consciousness, and they require help. So even if one cannot directly practice the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, he can try to help such work. Every endeavor requires land, capital, organization, and labor. Just as in business, one requires a place to stay, some capital to use, some labor, and some organization to expand. So the same is required in the service of Krishna. The only difference is that in materialism, one works for sense gratification. The same work, however, can be performed for the satisfaction of Krishna, and that is spiritual activity. If one has sufficient money, he can help in building an office or temple for propagating Krishna consciousness, or he can help with publications. There are various fields of activity, and one should be interested in such activities. One cannot sacrifice the results of his activities. The same person can still sacrifice some percentage to propagate Krishna consciousness. This voluntary service to the cause of Krishna consciousness will help one to rise to a higher state of love for Krishna, God, whereupon one becomes perfect. Right? So you have this activity that I'm doing this for Krishna. So you can see here is that this is that someone who's in the stage of regulated devotional service, then basically that's going to be the position that they're at as a regular thing. So here is that, okay, you have your life, do something for Krishna. You know, you work for this or that, but you're doing it just because it's going to be, okay, we're going to have Ratha Yatra. I'm going to give money and I'm going to ask all my friends, you know, to give money for Krishna, but it's already for Krishna. It's already given. So we see it's different from the next one, which is that you do things for yourself and then a result may be given, right? So here is that aspect of doing. So this person is getting advantage. He says, performing activities for my pleasure, you'll attain association with me. So the greater that is, the better it is. So you can do, you know, all your time for some time, you know, in a year, or sometimes you do, or whatever it is. The best is all the time because you're trying to be always Krishna conscious. But in any case, if something is connected to Krishna, it becomes perfect, right? So that's the whole point that we're trying to do is bring everything that it's always around Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. So we see is that devotees living in the temple, that's all there was. Everything they did was for Krishna. They may have not been as conscious as they could be about, you know, all the religious processes and how to, you know, a nice way to engage in Krishna service without disturbing or getting in the way of others. But the point was, is it was all about, their whole life was about Krishna. So then it's at that perfect stage of that. They're following the regulated principles and they're making everything about Krishna. So it works very, very well. So now, as you see, as others, then they're engaged. You know, somebody else comes from outside. He has his lifestyle, but then he, you know, it's okay coming up to Janmashtami, so he spends some days or, you know, helping with that in some way, or some people do. I remember one devotee was telling me that how, you know, about him joining Krishna consciousness, that he came to the temple and all that, and it happened to be, you know, he heard about it and he came, and I guess there was still some time, you know, before something was happening, and there was one devotee doing some decorations. And I think this person himself knew something about interior decorating. So then, you know, he started to help. And while they're, you know, hanging, you know, cloths, you know, making these nice draping things and doing all these things, the person, the devotee that this guest was working with, you know, the devotee started laughing. And so the guest thinks, you know, am I doing something wrong? I'm doing, no, this looks okay. Why is he laughing? Right? Because, you know, he was also from New York and, you know, we're in New York, so they can get a little mental sometimes if someone's laughing at what they're doing. What am I doing wrong? You know, my whole life is useless. You know, should I go shoot myself? You know, like that. So then the devotee said, he says, you came and you think you're just doing just some decoration, but actually your whole material existence is finished. You're now on the path of devotional service, right? You know, so. He was laughing at that. So that's the whole point, is that in here and nothing else in the guy's life is necessary in line with devotional service. So that's what Krishna's saying, that Apichet Sudaracharo, he's on the path to Krishna. So even the rest of his life, Nasa, he's still to be considered special, saintly, because he has done devotional service. He has assisted the devotees. He's doing something. So in this way, so we can see is by this, in this position here, this is going to be the Agnata Sukriti under the devotees. He's going to come to the point of faith, or he has that faith, but, you know, he's busy doing what he can. But now and again, he just does something for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So there's a difference. I'm making my money, and then you come and ask something for Krishna. Like this, this is something I'm going to do this. Like I've seen businessmen, they've been, you know, impressed with what the devotees are doing and want to help and all that. They have 10 businesses, right? If they're a good, you know, a businessman worth his salt, at least in India, you know, Vastavi, you got 10 businesses because you never put all your, what do you call, Fabergé eggs in one basket, right? Yeah. So, like that. So then, you know, I say, you know, I say, you never put all your Simply Wonderfuls in one basket, because then one brahmachari will steal all of them. So you put him in 10 different baskets, he can only steal one. You still got 9 left. I wouldn't take into consideration that there were 10 brahmacharis and each one took a basket, but whatever. So then he said, okay, this one business, all the profits from this one business, you know, something was stable and steady and all that. He said, all that will go to the temple. And I've seen, and they maintain that, you know, and again, whenever, you know, according to businesses, when you can pull the profit and all that, because they'll see it's for Krishna, he wants it to grow. So then he's going to keep reinvesting and all that. And so, or he, you know, he says that and then, you know, no money and all that. And then he comes along with a big donation because he thought, okay, it's for Krishna. I won't take any profit. I'll just reinvest and reinvest, make it bigger and all that. And then he starts giving regular money. So in any case, that's doing it for Krishna, even though the other 9 businesses are for him. And so for a big program, okay, this is a regular thing. So it gives a, you know, a few hundred, a few thousand like that. But then some big program, okay, then I'll renounce from what's mine from the other 9 and I'll give some of that for Krishna. Right. So, yeah. So all this is all good. What are we doing? Okay. Then, the next verse, this will be, 11. Okay. Ataitad apyasaktosi kartum mad yogam ashritaha sarva karma phala tyagam tata kuru yatat mavan. If you cannot do this, take shelter of my protective method. While controlling your mind, perform your duties with detachment from the results of work. Right? So now you're talking about the Nishkam Karma Yoga. The other one, it was just for Krishna. So this is going to be Nishkam Karma Yoga. So you see that there's subtleties in all these things. It's what you're focusing on. What is the activity? So these are principles that you're working. And you probably is giving practical ways on how people can elevate their life through this. Right? Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. It may be that one is unable even to sympathize with the activities of Krishna consciousness because of social, familiar, or religious considerations, or because of some other impediments. If one attaches himself directly to the activities of Krishna consciousness, there may be objections from family members or so many other difficulties. For one who has such a problem, it is advised that he sacrifice the accumulated result of his activities to some good cause. Such procedures are described in the Vedic rules. There are many descriptions of sacrifices and special functions for the full moon day, and there is special work in which the result of one's previous action may be applied. Thus, one may gradually become elevated to the state of knowledge. It is also found that when one who is not even interested in the activities of Krishna consciousness gives charity to some hospital or some other social institution, he gives up the hard-earned result of his activities. That is also recommended here, because by the practice of giving up the fruits of one's activities, one is sure to purify his mind gradually. And in that purified state of mind, one becomes able to understand Krishna consciousness. Right? So that's what it says, that the pious soul surrenders to Krishna. So that's the whole idea, is to, therefore, if you can't do anything, at least be pious. You know, be a good guy like that. But, you know, it's event, it'll slowly come through. But if you already know about Krishna consciousness, why not? You know, do what you can. Figure out what you can. But if not, at least then support Krishna consciousness. If not, then at least some nice activity. Right? Of course, Krishna consciousness is not dependent on any other experience, because Krishna consciousness itself can purify one's mind. So it's not that we need to only go in charity and then doing occasional work for Krishna and then, you know, trying to practice some sadhana and then, you know, maybe some other elements. And then you get to the point where you're always engaged and that you don't have to go up like that. Krishna consciousness itself can work. Right? So Krishna consciousness itself will make everything function. But if not, Krishna's giving how you can extend it out and in this way be benefited. So if you can't do Krishna consciousness, then you can even indirectly prepare for that by doing nice activities to prepare a pious background, and that the mind is more inclined towards piety, and then you can take up actual piety. So, yes. Piety is more difficult than devotional service because of attachment to the piety. People are willing to put in the work, but they're not attached to devotional service. Therefore, they won't work. It's just like this. Let us say, you know, you're thinking about getting up at 3 a.m, chanting your rounds, doing the whole thing, but it just doesn't work. Okay. What if you have a train at 4 a.m? Is it difficult to get up? No, because there's that you want to do something. So when you see it as something you want to do, as your work, then you can do it. So that's the thing, is that's the whole point, is that what's being pointed out is that the path of karma is so difficult, but because of attachment, you don't notice. You know, Maya is kicking you in the face, and it's just like kind of, yeah, I'm good. Like the guys, you know, flying off the thing, crash, smash, whoa, and he gets, I'm okay, you know. He's not, but yeah, yeah. Yeah. Love the new shape of your arm. Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is that the attachment, and that's why it's pointed out in the previous one, that bhakti is performed easily and pleasantly. Well, the others, you have to go through so much trouble. But, you know, the point is then, you know, if you're attached to those things, use that and go through that trouble for Krishna. Instead of going through that trouble just for yourself, go through Krishna. If you can't do that, then at least go through the trouble and give the results to Krishna. If you can't do that, then go through the trouble and give it to some charity, you know, to the starving kids in Biafra or to the orca whales, you know, yeah, in Florida, or, you know, something like that. You know, open a hospital. So and say, oh, no, but we should open hospitals. We should be good. We're devotees. We should do nice work. You know, we're just doing ordinary stuff. We should do great stuff by opening a hospital and doing all that. It's kind of like, no, that's the lowest thing that Krishna recommends. like that. Do the paramupakara. But that's the thing. There's no attachment for that. So this thing, I identify as a nice guy, and opening a hospital will be good. Like that. Yeah. You know, but this, if it comes along and we have, why would we open a hospital? It's just like Radhanath Maharaj doesn't open a hospital. But in his preaching, then, you know, so many doctors and other medical professionals become devotees. And then it comes up as, well, why work in their own places all over the city? Why not get together and make their own hospital? And that way they can all be engaged in devotional service, you know, within the association of devotees, and now they can run the hospital how they like. And, you know, somebody goes around, devotees, it's their service to go around, you know, I guess bed to bed, you know, and, you know, discuss with them and, you know, one, make them comfortable and bring out aspects of, you know, make them think about God consciousness. You know, in the evening is also for those who are known. Jagannath goes around, sees all the patients and gives that Charinamrita and stuff like that. I guess Charinamrita with Tulsi is, you know, the only thing that everybody can take, you know, because otherwise, you know, some people are on special diets and whatever. And so, you know, they can do that now that they all together. But it's otherwise, Maharaj is just preaching. But now these guys are there. Okay, why don't they do this? You know? Yeah. So, yeah. Of course, Krishna consciousness is not dependent on any other experience because Krishna consciousness itself can purify one's mind. But if there are impediments to accepting Krishna consciousness, one may try to give up the results of his actions. In that respect, social service, community service, national service, sacrifice for one's country, etc. may be accepted so that someday one may come to the stage of pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So we'll see it. Yeah, even those are good. So like, oh, that's all Maya. Yeah, it means if you're on a higher path, then that's a lower path. But for the others, no, it's progressive. But we're not going to preach that you only do that. We preach in Krishna consciousness. Says if you can't do that, then you do this. Yeah, but then they could do that and with the idea, if I do this, then I'll be able to one day take up Krishna consciousness. Or at least in the society, the good work is done. That's why it's there, because we know that someday they may come in contact. But how will they come in contact? That's because we're out on the streets doing Harinam and we're available so that people know we're there. Then it's, you know, when the piety goes up, you know, he's opened enough hospitals and fed enough kids in Biafra. Then he one day goes, oh, who are those guys? I see them every day. Who are they? You know, and when he goes over, what are you guys? And, oh, here, take one of our books, you know, like that. And, you know, then it begins. Like that. So that's the point. Krishna's is so nice. It can accommodate, you know, it means you have this, it's a natural ladder, but at the same time is you may be farther ahead on one thing, but farther behind in another. You know? Like your japa may be very, very good, but then you know, your attachment to which corner you sleep in is not. You know, or, you know, some other thing, that there's different things may move at different speeds. So these are all the elements that are there. You know, and if you have attachment for these things, okay, we have a hospital, then you can work with the hospital, with the devotees there and do some devotional service. Then you feel, yeah, I'm engaging that part of the real me, you know, like that kind of jazz, you know. And so, yes, and you get purified and you move forward. You know, but in other things, you may be doing very nicely. You may be on one of the higher levels that is here, because it's 8 through 11, right? So you're mentioning four different verses here. So you have all these different levels. Like that. One should also see in the story in Padma Purana, Vishnu Das performed pure worship. The king of Chola, who performed many sacrifices offered to the Lord, challenged him, saying, "I will attain the Lord before you." But he did not attain the Lord. See the Brahmana's attainment. The king gave up his sacrifices. He said to Mudgala, "The Brahmana with whom I competed by doing sacrifices and charity, seeing the form of Vishnu, went to the abode of Vaikuntha. Thus Vishnu is not pleased with charity and sacrifice. Pure bhakti is the cause of seeing the powerful Lord." Padma Purana 6, 109, 22 through 25 and 25. "O Vishnu, give me steady bhakti performed with mind, words, body, and actions." Saying this, he fell into the fire while everyone watched. Padma Purana 6, 109, 29. The king, surrendering with pure bhakti and showing constant humility, attained the Lord after throwing his body in the sacrificial fire. Right? So all these things are pointed out that to make sure that we don't do what we tend to do is, oh, it's all right to do charity and all, it's all part of the devotional. Yeah, it's on the path that, you know, taking a million lifetimes or whatever. But the point is then it's showing, but Krishna's not, that doesn't please him. That you're on the path and that it's a pious position. You have potential. But the soul inherently is servant of Krishna in devotion. That's what Krishna wants to reciprocate with. And if you're doing these other things, then he can only reciprocate with some other thing. The public says, oh, he's a nice guy. The kid at Biafra smiles at you with his toothy grin. You know, something, you get some return, but that's all Krishna, his potency. But that's all. That's not going to give Krishna the real satisfaction. So we always have to remember is that it's not about the situation, the mechanics. It's about Krishna, the person, and we as the person reciprocating with him based on mutual love, right? He already loves us, but he only will express it when we express it to him. Right? Because he's not going to get in the way of our independence. So to see that we don't, that third level of anartha nivriti, where we rationalize lower levels of consciousness to say it's all right in Krishna consciousness, which it is if you're at a lower level. But to avoid that, then there's these ones that say therefore it's all useless. Some say, oh, it's all useless. And others say, no, this is the perfection. But the point is whatever you're at, whatever will get you to move forward, that's what you use. And when you don't need it anymore, you give it up. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the point of the stairs. You're on one stair, right? So you pick up, both feet are on one step. Then you pick up one foot, put it on the second step. Now, if you're attached to the first step, you're not going to lift it. So then you're stuck in between. You'll go nowhere. So you've advanced, and you can see people advance there, but because of this attack, you're not going to go any farther. Now, when you lift up the other foot and put it on the second step, now you're situated on the second step. Now you're steady in that. The other one, you're showing symptoms, you know, like light is starting to come, the dawn, but it's not full light. It's not the Suryodaya, right? It's Arunodaya. So the whole point is that you have to give it up. Now you're on the second step. So you don't go back to the first step. You can't say, oh, going back, it's all right. It's part of you're going forward, right? You know, if you like walking backwards, go up the stairs backwards, you know. But the point is you stand there. Then you lift up one foot to the third step and then give that, you know, and when you're situated, you're solid. In other words, not that you just touched it. You're solid on it. Now you lift up the other foot and put it on the third. Then you put one on the fourth. And when it's solid, then you pick up. So you're going to be on two at once until the front one is most solid. Then you're going to pick up the back. But if the back one is solid and the front one's just touching, you're still going to be situated in the one and practicing the other. So that's how you advance. So all these things are there given to us on how we can advance. These are the stages. And so then situate yourself somewhere there. It means that 8 through 11, somewhere there you have to be, because we're not even interested in the one after that, which says if you can't do that, just focus on, you know, that you're the soul and Brahman, and that's it. So better than that is action, and better than that is devotion. So therefore, then why we won't waste our time with that one. You know, so the whole thing is that you're going to find where you are situated and see that you're there and try to move forward. Don't falsely, you've touched the step, then just jump up there. You know, you may fall off. The point is this, get that. When it's solid, pick up the other foot. But you can't rationalize and keep the other foot down. Well, it's all right. Well, I'll just move the foot up to the next step, you know, unless you're good at the splits. But at some point, you're going to have no foot on any stair and you're going to slide down. You know, that's just how splits work. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How are we doing? One more. Yeah. Yoga is also not respected. Yunjananam abhaktanam pranayama dipir manaha. Akshina vasanam rajam drishyate punar utitam. The minds of non-devotees who attain samadhi using practices as pranayama, are not fully cleansed of material desires. Thus, O king, material desires are again seen to arise in their mind. So, right, even yoga, even though it's a sadhana, doesn't, the karma, it only, it gives rise to, but it means, utitam means desires for objects arise, because they're just pulling in their senses and not engaging. And so the senses, it's natural for the soul to engage the senses through their mind, you know? And so therefore, it also is not going to do. It says you're not respected. Therefore, we stick to our devotional process. And see everything on the devotional process, wherever you are. Well, that's how I see. The Lord spoke thus to Muchakunda. Like that. Okay. So now we're on Anucheda Nexus 103. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Hare Rama.